Lives of the companions, radiyallahu anhum. Lives of the companions, radiyallahu anhum.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we welcome you once again in our new episode of our program that goes by the title of Lives of the Companions. As it's obvious from the title of the program that in this program of ours, we discuss about the seerah, about the biography of one of the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, derive certain pearls of wisdom from their seerah, from their biography, and ponder upon our own state in the light of our own state, that how can we follow in their footsteps, as every companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is paradise dweller, is a denizen of paradise, someone who's a shining star of guidance, someone who we should follow. Again, today, dear viewers, we brought a wonderful personality before you, an eminent companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, an illustrious companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, someone who possessed a very, very high rank in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a special proximity he had in the court of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised him immensely. The Sahaba ikram alayhi muridwan, especially Shaykhain Kareemain alayhi muridwan, the likes of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu and Umar Farooq radiyallahu anhu, they also praised this companion immensely. Someone who was known for his recitation of Quran, someone who was known to be amongst as-sabiqoon al-awwalun companions, someone who was known to give tremendous sacrifices for the sake of Islam, someone who was praised immensely, someone who was spoken of very highly by the eminent and by the lead companions, alayhi muridwan. This very personality, inshallah, we'll be discussing today. Who is this personality? He is none other than our master, our guide, the great companion, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu, who, inshallah, we'll be talking about in our today's program. So make sure you stay with us from start till end, inshallah, you'll gain immense amount of knowledge, especially regarding Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. Today, alhamdulillah, we have another distinguished guest in our program, another emerging Muballigh Dawat-e-Islami. We have with us Muhammad Mahad Attari, mashallah, who joins us in our today's episode, who will be taking us through this very subject, this very topic of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, and will be enlightening our hearts with their mention. So we welcome you, Mahad Bhai, in our program. Jazakallah for joining us. How are you doing today, and how excited you are to be talking about the great companion like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu?
Alhamdulillah, it's an honor, and to be honest, our tongues are not worthy of the mention.
Indeed.
It is the blessing of Allah that He has enabled us for this.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, Mahad Bhai, when we talk about the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, every companion, subhanallah, is paradise dweller, and whichever companion we talk about, we will see their seerah to be amazing from many perspectives. We see them to be the shining stars of this ummah, the guiding beacons of this ummah. But then there are certain companions who, of course, stand out, and we have the examples of likes of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. In our last episode, we spoke about Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, and the great excellences he possessed, they were also remarkable and something that leaves our intellects astonished and in awe. Now today, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, subhanallah, what a great companion, someone who was from those companions who embraced Islam in the very early days of Islam, the most testing times when you were tested from every front, whether it was physical sacrifices, whether it was financial sacrifices, whether it was sentimental sacrifices, you name it, from every front, the Muslims, they were tyrannized They were oppressed by the disbelievers so they could leave the folds of Islam. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anh is amongst the As-Sabiqoon al-Awwaloon companions who embraced Islam at the very early stages of Islam. And then he radiallahu anh is also from the very first Muhajirun Sahaba who migrated to Madinatul Munawwara. And when we talk about the concept of migration, we need to understand the concept of migration in its entirety. Today it's easy for us to say that they migrated, but when you delve deeper into the topic, into the subject of migration, we need to understand it wasn't something easy, leaving everything behind, your entire family behind, everything that you lived for. All of a sudden, upon one call of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we leave everything behind and leave for Madinatul Munawwara and start a new life altogether. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anh, he was also amongst those companions who was first to migrate to Madinatul Munawwara. And throughout his life, we see that the sacrifices that he gave for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the rank he had and the honor he obtained, the proximity, the special proximity he had, that wasn't granted to others. So in light of this, when we talk about the greatness of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anh, the special closeness he had in the court of Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, certain duties of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that he would perform, in the light of all this, how would you commence this very subject of ours in terms of specially introducing him to the viewers of Madani Channel, that who that personality was, what was his title, what was his known by, etc.? How would you like to commence?
So mashallah, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, and he's a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's also known by the kunya Abu Abdirrahman.
Subhanallah.
And he was born in Makkatul Mukarramah in about 594 CE.
Right.
His parents' name was Mas'ud bin Ghafil and Umm Abd bint Abdawad.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them were from the Tamim tribe.
Right.
And while he was still in his youth, not past the age of puberty yet, he used to roam the mountain trails of Makkatul Mukarramah, far mm-hmm. away from people, tending to the flocks of one of the Quraysh chieftain who was named Uqba bin Mu'id. So one day while he was tending the flocks, Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, and he saw two men, middle-aged and of dignified bearing,
right,
coming towards him from a distance. And they seemed very tired. They were also thirsty because their lips and throat seemed quite dry.
Mm.
And so they came to Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala and they greeted him and said, "Young man, milk one of these sheep for us so that we may quench our thirst and recover our strength."
Mm-hmm.
And look at the response. This is before accepting Islam.
Right.
Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, and he says, "I cannot. The sheep are not mine. I'm only responsible for looking after them."
Subhanallah. This was his mindset even prior to embracing Islam.
Even prior to embracing Islam. And so the two men, they didn't argue with him further. Mm. In fact, although they were thirsty, they were extremely pleased at the honest replies. And these two men, in fact, who were they? They were none other than this Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the final Prophet himself, and his companion Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. They had gone out on that day to the mountains of Makkah to escape the persecution of the Quraysh. And right. So the young man in turn, he was impressed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companion Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and he became quite attached to them. And as you mentioned, then later on he accepted Islam, and in one of the narrations, he was the sixth person to accept Islam.
Right, subhanAllah, beautifully mentioned. And this shows us, Mahatbhai, that indeed the honorable companions of the Prophet, they are those individuals who were specially chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have likes of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anh, who had these inherited traits within them, the traits of nobility within them, even prior to embracing Islam. And then after embracing Islam, subhanAllah, what dignified rank they further obtained, and how further their rank and their traits were beautified, that's also remarkable. Because up until now, this was solely, independently, personal to himself.
Yeah.
But then after he came under the slavery of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, subhanAllah, after he came under the guidance of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, now truly his fortune started to shine. Now truly the destiny started to smile upon him. Now was when the doors of privilege and honor were opened upon him. So you've mentioned regarding the beautiful account where what he used to do prior to embracing Islam, and this beautiful account with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the first caliph of Islam, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, they came across Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anh, and the honesty of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anh is also reflected in this very account. Now, We see over here, Mahadbhai, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anh, look at their blessed reaction. You see, because we are here to discuss about the seerah of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anh, and see what we can gain out of it. Now the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anh, their reaction was they became pleased upon the honesty of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anh. Exactly. Yet if I ask you for something which I require, I'm in desperate need of it, I'm severely thirsty, I'm starving or something, and my starvation or my thirst can be quenched through something that you possess, and I ask you for it, and you give me an honest reply that I can't give it to you, what would be my reaction? Straight away, normally what is seen, that I would become furious. I would straight away start labeling you with certain, you know, titles, or put certain allegations to you. But look at the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, despite in the heat of Arab, we can imagine those who've been there, they know what heat is, mashallah. And what do they say? Millions of springs are sacrificed upon the heat of Medina, subhanallah. So in that heat, scorching heat, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, they're extremely thirsty. And look at the reply of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, subhanallah. From both perspectives, so much to learn from, isn't
so
it?
Much to learn.
The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, like, if someone is being honest in their affairs, we should be happy rather than becoming furious, or rather than, you know, retaliating in a way which is not appropriate. And from the other side, we also see that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, that how honest he was. So we also work here and there. There are other affairs that we also carry out. Honesty is an integral part of everything.
Very
subhanallah. Very beautifully mentioned. And then you also mentioned that according to one narration, he radiallahu anhu was sixth individual to embrace Islam.
Yes.
Subhanallah. We can again imagine what hardships he would have suffered, what difficulties he would have gone through. Sixth individual, this means besides him, there would be only five individuals, five other Muslims. He was the sixth one.
Yes, exactly.
And at that very moment in time, how many persecutions and oppressions were being carried out by the disbelievers upon the Muslims.
Allah.
Subhanallah, the remarkable. And when we talk further about Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, Mahadbhai, now we come to know that his honesty, his was at such a level, his truthfulness was at such a level which even pleased the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. So this inherited nobility was within him even prior to embracing Islam. Now let's go a step forward. Here radiyallahu anhu embraces Islam, comes under the slavery of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, regarding his closeness with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, what would you state in this regard? Because this is also something very, very particular when we talk about Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, as whenever we talk about him, it's not possible that we don't talk about his closeness with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So in this regard, what would you say?
So this is one of the exclusive features of the seerah of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, that once he accepted Islam and he came under the slavery of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave up tending the sheep in exchange for looking after the needs of the Messenger of Allah
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah.
What a beautiful exchange.
The best service of the world,
subhanallah. And he would attend to the needs of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, both inside and outside the house. He would accompany the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on journeys and expeditions. He would wake the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was resting. He would shield him when he washed. He would carry his pillow and his siwak, the toothbrush.
The miswak sharif.
Subhanallah. And he would attend to other personal needs.
Subhanallah.
And such that the Prophet Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, he received a unique training in the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Subhanallah.
What greater blessing can there be?
Allah.
Being with your master, and he was under the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He adopted his mannerisms and followed his every trait, every single sunnah, and until it was said of him that he was the closest to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his character.
Subhanallah, what an honor.
Subhanallah. And Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, like, we are taught in different schools, but he was taught in the school of the Prophet
sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah, subhanallah.
And he was one of the best reciters of the Quran amongst the companions, and he understood it better than them all.
Subhanallah.
And this was due to the closeness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to him. One narration I would like to mention of Sayyidina Al-Qamah radiallahu anhu, he's another companion.
Ji.
This is to highlight the closeness that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud had. And that he reports that once he went to Asham and sat in the gathering of Sayyidina Abu Darda
radiallahu anhu. Another great companion, subhanAllah, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu.
And Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, when he saw Sayyidina Alqama, he asked him where he had come from. And he said, from Kufa.
Right.
And so Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, and he then said, do you not have amongst you Sahibul Wisada wa Siwak?
Allah, Allah.
Yani, you're coming to me, who do you have in Kufa? Sahibul Wisada wa Siwak means the carrier of the pillow and the siwak, the toothbrush of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. The miswak sharif,
subhanAllah. So this was the closeness that...
And through this, he meant Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu
anhu. Yes, exactly.
Because this was one of the titles that he was known by.
That was Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu
anhu. Subhanallah. Because we also come to know that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he attained the honor of carrying Allah, these possessions of the Prophet والسلام, along with the na'lain, the blessed sandals of the Prophet والسلام, and he would be in the service of the Prophet والسلام, subhanAllah. And the other point that you mentioned earlier on regarding Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that amongst the Sahaba, he understood the Quran best. And amongst the Sahaba, he was specially known for his recitation of the Quran. And the fundamental reason for this is his closeness to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And then again, his upbringing took place in the house of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The house, when we talk about, all of a sudden it lightens our heart, isn't it? As soon as we talk about that house.
Subhanallah.
You know, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was from those who stayed in the closeness of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, looked after him, served him, was brought up by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, upon whom the Quran was revealed,
Allah,
he himself taught the Quran to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. 70 chapters of the Quran, it is stated, Allah, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, that I memorized from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. I heard them from the blessed tongue of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Imagine, what can you imagine? Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam reciting the Quran, the best of the kalam from the best of the tongues. There's no better kalam than the Quran. There's no better tongue than the tongue of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Best of the kalam from best of the tongues. And who is the listener? Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, subhanAllah. So imagine you're being schooled, you're being taught by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, listening to the Quran from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, then why wouldn't it be a case where he would be known as the best reciter of the Quran? SubhanAllah, someone who understood the Quran better than everyone else. SubhanAllah. Inshallah, Ahmad Bhai, we'll continue our discussion straight after our first segment. It is time for our first segment of the program, the Dear Viewers of Madani Channel. Now we'll go towards our first segment of the program, which is Message of the Scholar. And straight after this segment, inshallah, we will continue our discussion from where we are leaving it at the moment. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
Ya Sayyidi, a question has been posed that, how can you develop the habit of paying gratitude to Allah Almighty over the blessings He grants us? Because it is observed at times that once a person receives a blessing, then instead of paying gratitude for it, he starts striving and going in pursuit of another blessing.
Gratitude can also be paid along with being in pursuit of another blessing as well. If you received any blessing, any good news, or any nice thing, or any nice food, then say Alhamdulillah. From heat, you come in shade. Shade is also a blessing. Say Alhamdulillah. This is verbal form of paying gratitude to Allah. Now, the most superior form of paying gratitude to Allah is that the blessing that a person gets, use it for the sake of Allah Almighty. Such as hands are a blessing, so they should be used only for the sake of Allah. Tongue is a blessing of Allah, so it should be used only for the sake of Allah. Neither should it be used for sinful conversation, nor for useless conversation. On this subject, there's a beautiful book of Maktabatul Madina which comprises of 124 pages. Its name is Ashukru Lillah. It is a very old book of 3rd or 4th century, in fact, I think even before that, and it's been translated in English as Virtues of Gratitude. It can be purchased from Maktabatul Madina, and the translation department of Dawat Islami has translated it in English. Virtues of Gratitude. Everyone should read this book. Just take it this way, that it is compulsory for you to read it. so that you learn about paying gratitude to Allah. You will find great content in it and develop a great mindset to pay gratitude. And you will understand and realize that for us to breathe in, inhaling is also a blessing, and so is the process of breathing out. If breathing in gets blocked, a person will pass away. And in case a person does breathe in, but breathing out gets blocked, still a person will die, he will pass away. So even breathing in and out is a blessing. So a person can never be free from the act of paying gratitude to Allah Almighty. Drinking water is a blessing, for it to exit our body is a blessing. Same with the food we eat. So everything that Allah Almighty has given us is nothing but His blessings. There are so many blessings of Allah that we can never ever bring them into count. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Subhanallah, beautiful message here is regarding paying gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over the blessings that He has given us, that He has provided us. If we think about it and just analyze our lives and the blessings that we enjoy day in, day out, we breathe in, we breathe out, we eat to our fill, we walk, and many other blessings and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala they are that we enjoy on daily basis. But at the same time, we need to ask ourselves that how much gratitude do we pay to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over these blessings. May Allah Almighty enable us to thank Him, to pay gratitude to Him for all the blessings that He has granted us. This will inshallah increase our blessings further. Coming back to the subject, Mahad Bhai, we're talking about Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu before we went to the segment. Now, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he was amongst those companions again, Mahad Bhai, who was famous as a devout worshipper. Even amongst the Sahaba, he was known to be a devout worshipper. Then his element of reciting the Quran, of course, that stood out. And he was also known to be a person of wisdom. Again, this is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the more knowledge you acquire, the more doors of wisdom are open for you. Yeah. So Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu subhanahu spent his time with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Imagine the quality of knowledge and the amount of knowledge he would have gained. So his chest would have opened to absorb those wisdoms from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was specially known as a person who possesses wisdom. Then he was also known as secret bearer of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Someone who, with whom the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would also share secrets, subhanallah. And you mentioned earlier that he was known as Sahib al-Sawad, someone who would carry the blessed pillow of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the blessed miswak of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Then Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was known as someone who would surpass others in pious deeds, who would rush in performing pious deeds. He was someone who had the most proximity in the court of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he had a prominent rank amongst all the companions, subhanallah. And he was also blessed with being the special guard of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He guarded the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam at many occasions. He was absorbed in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is stated that he was desirous of observing the truth, observing the haqq, and he was someone who was known as mustajabu da'wat, someone whose du'as were accepted. I mean, there's so much else written in the praise of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. We can't duly justify or duly praise Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, but this is just a tribute in his quote from our own side, which we are trying to pay in his quote by talking about him, by mentioning him, by talking about his excellences and virtues, and pondering as to how can we also tread upon the footsteps of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Now moving forward, Mahad Bhai, when we talk about his closeness to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we've spoken about that, his special duties that he would perform for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, of course, when certain individuals have certain traits within them, they become well known for them. Yeah. People, they start knowing them for certain reasons. Now, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, when we talk about him, what was he well known for?
He was well known for his knowledge in Islamic jurisprudence,
Subhanallah.
And also in the recitation of the Quran.
Subhanallah.
So in the recitation of the Quran, he is one of the most well-known companions,
Subhanallah.
And one incident that would illustrate this, is when a man came to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, when he was standing in the plains of Arafat.
And Umar bin Khattab radiallahu is Amir al-Mu'mineen at the moment.
Yes, he's at the time of his caliphate,
right,
while she's Amir al-Mu'mineen. Mm-hmm. And so this man, he comes to Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, and he says, "I have come, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, from Kufa, where I left a man filling copies of the Quran from memory."
Allah, Allah. So he's writing the Quran from memory.
From his memory. Mm. And so Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he became astounded at this and he became angry. And he paced up and down beside his camel, fuming. He said, "Who is he?"
Mm.
And
it's not an ordinary matter.
It's not an ordinary, it's such a serious matter that he's writing from his memory. So who is this person? And so that man, he replies, Abdullah bin Mas'ud.
Allah, Allah, subhanallah.
And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he instantly becomes calm and his anger subsided and he regained his composure. And he says, "Woe to you. By Allah, I don't know of any man, any person left who is more qualified in this matter than he is."
Allah,
and then he goes on to tell a further incident of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. He said, "Let me tell you about this." And he continues. He says, "One night the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was having a conversation with Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq about the situation of the Muslims."
Right.
And he says, "I was with them. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left, we left with him also. And as we passed through the mosque, there was a man standing in prayer whom we didn't recognize."
Right.
"The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood and listened to him. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, 'Whoever wants to read the Quran as fresh as when it was revealed, then let him read according to the recitation of Ibn Ummi Abd.'"
Subhanallah, subhanallah. And who's Ummi Ibn Abd?
Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala.
Ibn Ummi Abd, subhanallah. This was the title.
It's titled.
Earlier we spoke about it.
And that's how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recalled him. And so after the prayer, further Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he's saying this, he's saying, after the prayer, Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, he sat, made supplications, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, "Ask and it will be given to you. Ask and it will be given to you."
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
This is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah.
And so Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he says, after this, what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, he said, "I said to myself, I shall go to Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala and straight away and tell him the good news of what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said about him."
Right.
And so he goes and he does so. He tells him about what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says.
Sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. And what does he find out? He says that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala had gone before me and conveyed the good news to him already.
Subhanallah.
He says, "By Allah, I have never yet beaten Abu Bakr in the doing of any good."
Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah.
So this was the relationship between these companions. This was the upbringing of these companions by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
How amazing this is. Again, if we break this incident down step by step. First of all, again, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, what a great honor and title he received from the court of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that whoever wants to read the Quran as fresh as when it was revealed, then let him read according to the recitation of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. So we come to know that he is like, what do you call it, an evidence in Islam.
Subhanallah.
In the recitation of Quran, a hujjah, that this is how the recitation of Quran should be. And then we come to know that this matter of recording the Quran by memory wasn't a small one. Mm. This was very sensitive and very serious issue. Mm. And how Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, he reacted, because it was the matter of Quran. It was the matter of religion. It wasn't a small matter.
Yes, exactly.
And it's not that any person can execute this task. Mm. When he was told that a person is doing this, he all of a sudden, he became furious, because it was the matter of deen, matter of religion. And he asked who it was. But when he was told it was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, all of a sudden, all the anger subsides. Why? Because he knows that no one other than Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu has the capability of doing what he was doing, subhanAllah. So this shows us the greatness of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. And now if you look from the other side of things, who was it? Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, who's the second caliph of Islam. Who was the other companion? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the first caliph of the Muslims, who is Afdalul Bashir Ba'd al-Anbiya, the most elite after the prophets, right? Now both these individuals, they are conveying this glad tiding to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. And if you look at the ranks of both these companions individually itself.
Subhan.
We come to know who Abu Bakr is, radiyallahu anhu. Who is Umar Farooq, radiyallahu anhu. Now, Umar bin Khattab, radiyallahu anhu, looking at whom? Satan the accursed changes his path.
Allah.
And if there was a Nabi after the Prophet, it would be Umar. But there is no Prophet in any way or form or shape after the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, is the seal of the Prophet. See, alayhi salatu wasalam, is the final messenger of Allah. No Prophet can come after the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, in any way, form, or shape. That is definitive. But Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he was also amongst the jurist companions. He was also amongst those companions who issued Islamic verdicts. Mm. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, subhanallah, who was praised by Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu himself would say that I cannot surpass Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Both these companions are saying this regarding Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. And who did they hear from?
The Prophet.
From the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa subhanallah. It shows us the greatness of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, because at times, Mahad Bhai, the greatness of an individual is also seen from the feedback of his contemporaries, of his peers, that what they say about him.
Yes, exactly.
Now, when again, who were the contemporaries of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, subhanallah? They were the likes of Umar bin Khattab, the likes of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhuma, and other companions, subhanallah. But on the other side, we come to know about another beautiful Madani pearl over here, that Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, what did he say? That I cannot surpass Abu Bakr. This shows us the love they had between them as well, and they would compete each other in pious deeds. Not like us, where we compete in wealth, and you know, you have one car, I need to get two, you got one property, I need to get three. Not in these matters. They would compete in the matters of the hereafter without having any element of envy or jealousy in their hearts. Even if the other person is excelling them, they wouldn't be jealous of them, they wouldn't be envious of them, they would be pleased of them, and they would still talk high of them, they would still praise them. And this is the beauty of Islam. This is what Islam teaches us, that we should not be jealous of one another. We should be happy of one another. And if we are to compete with one another, it should be in the matters of the hereafter in good deeds. Inshallah, we'll continue our discussion. Mahad Bhai, it's time for our second segment of the day. So, dear viewers of Madani Channel, we go towards our second segment of our program, that is Words of Wisdom. Let's go towards this. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiyallahu anhum.
Today's word of wisdom again, by the fourth caliph of Islam, the Lion of Allah, Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza, karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, who says, that do not be from among those who only benefit from advice after they are greatly ashamed. Subhanallah. Again, very comprehensive statement by Ali al-Murtaza, karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, that we should not be amongst those who benefit from advice after they are greatly ashamed. After they regret their action or something, we shouldn't be amongst those that after this, they take benefit from the advice. We should benefit from the advice from step one, and we should stop from such actions which lead to shame and embarrassment. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. JBZ Madani Channel, we're talking about Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and just before going to the segment, we were talking about a beautiful incident which was reported by the second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu, and we covered the greatness of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu from that very incident. Ji Mahad Bhai, carrying further on this very subject, on the same topic, what else would you add?
So regarding his knowledge of the Quran, we were discussing, and his deep insight into the Quran, that himself he says, by him besides whom there is no God, no verse of the book of Allah has been revealed without my knowing where it was revealed and the circumstances of its revelation.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
By Allah, if I know there was anyone who knew more of the book of Allah, I will do whatever is in my power to be with
him. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Allah, Allah. Showing the importance of scholars as well,
subhanallah,
the people of knowledge, that if there was someone who knew more than me, then I would do whatever is in my power to be with them, subhanAllah. And again, this also, even in today's day and age, I mean, it's an eye-opener for us that who should we be with? So either we should be scholars, or we should be students, or at least we should be amongst those who have close connection with the scholars. This is very, very important, subhanAllah. And anything else other than this you would like to add, Mahad Bhai, on the subject?
Yes, so another incident that occurs with him is that once Sayyidina Umar, the second caliph of Islam, he met a caravan on one of his journeys as a caliph.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pitch dark and the caravan could not be seen properly. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he ordered someone to hail the caravan, to call the caravan. And it happened that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala was in it. Now it was dark, you couldn't see Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. And so Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he questioned, from where do you come? The reply came with the language of the Quran.
Subhanallah.
And
Subhanallah.
Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he asked, where are you going? And the reply came, Al-Baytul Atiq. This is also found in the Quran.
Subhanallah. Amazing.
So he's questioning and he's receiving answers from the Quran.
Subhanallah.
And he says, Sayyidina Umar, he realizes this and he says, there is a learned person, alim, amongst them. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he commanded someone to ask the person, which part of the Quran is the greatest?
Right.
And then he hears a recitation, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, until the end of the ayah. The Ayatul Kursi. And so Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he says, which part of the Quran is the most clear on justice? And then the person recites, indeed Allah orders justice, Inna Allah ya'muru bil adl wal ihsan wa ita'i dhil qurba, and so on and so on. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he says, what is the most comprehensive statement of the Quran?
Mm-hmm.
And he has, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. And then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he says, which part of the Quran gives rise to the greatest hope? And the reply comes, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Say, O my servants who have transgressed against themselves by sinning, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Indeed, it is He who is the forgiving, the merciful.
Subhanallah.
So these are ayat from the Quran, Surah Zumar. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he asked, is Abdullah bin Mas'ud amongst you?
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Is Abdullah bin Mas'ud amongst you? And they said, yes, by God. The men in the caravan, they reply. And Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, and this is his teaching to the men of the caravan, how he responds with the Quran.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. This is amazing, Mahad. I mean, this also shows the identification of an individual and someone who's known through a certain fact, a certain commodity, in other words, whatever. If someone is known through a certain thing, depending on what thing he's known by, also shows his greatness. Now, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, he himself is also amongst the most knowledgeable individuals. And he keeps asking these questions regarding Quran, which is the greatest verse, which is, you know, so on and so forth. And the reply keeps coming in the verses of the Quran, subhanAllah, shows us the great level of scholarly brilliance of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. And on the other hand, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, he also came to know that who this individual is just by questioning and answering. You know, what other brilliance would you talk about that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was known through the Quran?
Subhanallah.
Whenever Quranic brilliance or this greatness of Quran was reflected through the tongue of an individual, someone who wasn't in front of a third person, but if Quranic brilliance was being uttered through the tongue of that very person, the other person would recognize this is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. So Quran became his mark of identity, his mark of acclaim, his mark of renown. What else could be said regarding the greatness of this very personality?
So we are left speechless.
We left speechless, subhanAllah. The best of the kalam is a mark of his identity, subhanAllah, subhanAllah. DAVIDS & MADANI channel, we're talking about Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu and his greatness from various perspectives. It is time for the third segment in our program, which is Did You Know? Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions radiyallahu anhum.
Dear viewers, our segment Did You Know, in which we ask each other a question each. So Mahad bhai, I'll ask you a question, then you'll ask me a question, inshallah. Are you ready for it?
Yes, inshallah.
Inshallah. So the first question for you is that who named the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam Muhammad?
His grandfather Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu
ta'ala. Subhanallah, subhanallah radiallahu anhu. To your turn.
Before the proclamation of prophethood, in which cave would the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam go to worship?
Subhanallah, in the cave of Hira. Subhanallah. Question for you. Which attributes of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was the mother of believers, Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu anha, impressed with?
With trustworthiness, honesty and good manners.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, amazing.
Your on turn? The day of judgment, what will the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be riding upon?
Subhanallah, on the Buraq. The Buraq will be blessed
Allahu
with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam riding it. Subhanallah. And sometimes, Madhva, I just think that, I mean, what was it that Buraq did for which it attained this honor, this rank?
Yeah.
But then it's upon the karam of the Kareem, you know, whoever the Kareem wants to bless. Subhanallah. So dear viewers, this was our segment, Did You Know, where we spread the knowledge of Islam in form of questions and answers. We hope that your knowledge would have increased through this very segment of ours. Moving back to our topic, Madhvi, when we talk about a certain personality, again, his greatness and brilliance is also seen through the sayings of that very individual, because the amount of knowledge they possess, the amount of wisdom they possess, in the light of that, when they say something, that really means something.
Exactly.
And their sayings are very comprehensive, precise and comprehensive. And within few words, they explain a very, very big meaning. So, keeping the same thing in mind, would you like to shed some light on some of the sayings of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, so we can get a gist of the wisdom that he radiallahu anhu possessed?
Yeah, exactly. As you mentioned, that someone's personality and someone's knowledge is highlighted through his sayings. And so, his words are an ocean of wisdom and knowledge.
Subhanallah.
He's getting his knowledge from the Quran, so what would we expect?
Subhanallah.
One of his sayings, which is quite profound in its meaning, he says, I dislike the person who is not doing anything, literally farigh, as he is not busy in the works of this world, nor the actions of the hereafter.
Allah.
This is one of what he's saying. And then another one of his sayings, he says, I should certainly not find amongst you, he's giving an order, I should certainly not find amongst you a person like the one who lays all night like a lifeless corpse.
Allah, Allah.
And running all day to earn this world, not worrying about the hereafter.
Allah.
And it is mentioned that the word qutrub is used over here, which is meant that the one who sits here and there wasting his time. And I would like you to highlight the importance of this saying in our time today.
Allah, it seems as if Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu specifically mentioned it for us, isn't it?
Okay.
You know, the one who lays all night long like a lifeless corpse, and during the day he's running to earn this dunya only. This is exactly the state of our life, isn't it? And this saying just seems as if Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu specifically mentioned for us. In the light of this, this is very, very important for us to realize that although, yes, we do need to rest, there's also right of our body upon us. We do need to rest, but then the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Fajr prayer comes, where are we? We're not even talking about tahajjud salah. We're not even talking about qiyam al-layl. We're not even talking about offering nawafil. We're talking about obligatory salah, obligatory prayer, which we have to offer, you know. All night long, we're just sleeping. And nowadays, during winter, it's very easy to offer Fajr Salah because the sun rises almost 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of time. This is, of course, in UK and Europe we're talking about. But what excuse do we have nowadays to not offer Salah? So very precise and concise saying of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, in the light of which we should also reflect upon our own selves and see where are we heading. We shouldn't be like a lifeless corpse during the night and during the day. Just running behind this dunya shouldn't be the only aim of ours. We should not forget the Creator in search of sustenance. The Creator who provides us with sustenance. You know, in the search of sustenance, do not forget the provider of sustenance. Go after please the provider of sustenance. Insha'Allah, Zawajal, means of gaining sustenance would also open for you. Subhanallah. Any other saying, Madhvi?
One of his sayings is, destruction is for that person who did not seek knowledge. If Allah had willed, he certainly would have sought it. And destruction is for that person too, who did seek knowledge, but didn't act upon it. And he said this 7 times.
Allah, Allah.
7 times.
Allahu Akbar. Saying it even once would have been enough.
Allah.
Or to emphasize a point, saying it three times. was saying it seven times. Allah. Allahu Akbar. This shows us the importance of knowledge, how important knowledge is. How heedless are we in this regard? You see, if Allah willed, He certainly would have sought it. And distractions for the person. Now, there are two things over here. One is seeking knowledge, and then the second is acting upon it. Both these go hand in hand. You know, they say ilm, amal.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them come from same letters in Arabic. Ilm, amal. Ayn, meem, lam. Ayn, lam, meem. So it's just the sequence of letters, but how closely related they are, and very, very important for us that knowledge comes with action. Knowledge without action and action without knowledge, both are destructive.
Both are destructive.
So very, very important for us that acquiring knowledge is the first stage, then acting upon it. That is very, very important. You know, a person doesn't acquire knowledge, but worships Allah Almighty. He offers salah without knowledge.
Allah.
Now, what are those matters that invalidate salah? What are the makruhat of salah? What are the preconditions of salah? The conditions of salah? The obligatory acts within salah? So without knowing these things, how can we safeguard our salah even whilst we are offering it?
Exactly.
If any single one of them are missing, I'm talking about the preconditions or the obligatory acts of salah. If any one of them is missing, salah is invalid. It will just be mere exercise.
Allah.
You know? And then again, you know all that, but still you don't do it.
You don't pray.
What's the point?
Exactly.
So very, very beautifully mentioned. Very comprehensive saying, subhanAllah. Any other saying, Mahad bhai?
Yes. He says, as long as you are involved in salah, it is as if you are knocking on the door of a king.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
And the one who stays knocking at the door of a king, then the door eventually does open.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Again, many people, they complain that our matters are not being resolved. We have so many problems in our lives. I mean, the question is, how much do we engage ourselves in offering salah, which is fard upon us? You know, and those who do offer it, again, the previous point which you mentioned regarding knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
What knowledge do I have regarding offering salah? Do I offer my salah in light of the knowledge?
Mm-hmm.
Which is incumbent upon me to acquire and offer salah in light of that. So again, very, very important for us that as long as we are involved in salah, it is as if we are knocking at the door of the king, subhanallah. And any other thing you would like to...
One final one I would like to mention. And this is...
Last but not the least.
This is... it almost made me cry. He says, the hearts are like vessels.
Allah.
Hearts are like vessels. So do not fill them with anything other than the Quran.
Allah, Allah.
Allah.
Everything is summarized within this, isn't it? Quran is everything. Quran is everything. And how beautifully he mentioned that do not fill your hearts with anything other than the Quran. Allahu Akbar, and our hearts are like vessels. Indeed, dear viewers of Madani channel, our hearts are like vessels. It is up to us that what do we fill our hearts with? With the love of this dunya, with the worry of this dunya, with the worry of wealth, with the worry of, you know, materialistic gains of this dunya? Or do we fill our hearts with the love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, with the fear of Allah Almighty, with the love of Allah Almighty, with the concern for the hereafter, for the matters, for the concern of the matters of the grave? Or do we fill our hearts with the love of Medina? Do we fill our hearts with the tears that shed in the love of Medina? It is entirely up to us. Heart is our vessel. It's under our possession. What do we fill it with? And Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu anhu, he beautifully mentions that do not fill it with anything else other than the Quran. Quran is everything. If Quran is absorbed within our hearts, everything we will gain taqwa, we will gain fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will gain the love for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we will gain everything that we require. The Quran is everything for us. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu highlighted, signified the importance for this. Dear viewers, it is time for our last segment of the day, towards which inshallah we'll now go. It is the fourth segment and the last segment of our program, which is today's hadith. Let's go towards today's hadith. And on the other side of the segment, we will continue our discussion on Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu anhu. For now, the fourth and the last segment of today's episode, today's hadith. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
Let's listen to a hadith about going towards good and doing good. helping other people do good, and refraining from sins, and helping others refrain from sin as well. Sayyidina Nu'man bin Bashir radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "The example of those who adhere to the limits of Allah Almighty and those who violate them is like those who drew lots in a ship. So some of them received a bottom place and some on its upper portion. Thus those at the bottom had to go to those who were at the top for water. This troubled those at the bottom, of course. So a person from below took an axe and began to make a hole in the lower part of the ship. Those from the top came to him and asked, 'What is the matter with you?' He replied, 'You were made to face difficulty on my account, and I cannot survive without water. Thus, if they take hold of his hand, they will save him and themselves. But if they leave him, they will destroy him and themselves.'" Now it is stated in Mirat al-Manajih under the explanation of this hadith that this hadith uses a similarity to explain the importance of forbidding evil and commanding good. It has been mentioned that if the obligation of commanding good and forbidding evil is left with the understanding people that no one committing wrong is only harming himself and it does not affect us, then this is a wrong interpretation. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, this is because the effects of that sin impact the entire society. Just as the one who damages the ship does not drown alone, but takes everyone else with him. Similarly, the crime of a few individuals who do wrong become a menace that spreads across the whole society. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, instead of being only focused on our own rectification, we should have concern for rectifying others. This is because there are many sins whose harms afflict others too. For example, if a person were to commit an act of stealing, it would result in the loss for the one whose thing has been stolen. The same applies to being treacherous in the matter of trust, cursing, slandering, backbiting, tale-telling, exposing the faults of others, unjustly taking the wealth of others, shedding blood, causing harm to one another without any given reason. Alongside these worldly harms, dear viewers of Madani Channel, such a person will also face loss in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from these sins, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us on the right path. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Another beautiful message for us in this hadith. May Allah Almighty enable us to act upon it. Dear viewers, just before going to the segment, we were talking about Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu and his remarkable sayings that are an eye-opener for us. Let's continue our discussion further, as we're also heading towards the end of our program where we need to summarize our today's topic as well. There's so much to discuss about, dear viewers. There's so much to discuss about, and we can't do justice to this great personality, but we're just trying to pay a tribute from our own side in the court of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu and bring some facts before you so our hearts can also be enriched with his love. Madhbhai, this is a beautiful narration before me, where Abdurrahman bin Yazid radiallahu anhu narrates that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu told me that the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me that you have the permission of entering my house by lifting veil and entering my house and listening to what I say until I don't abstain you from it. So he had that exclusive closeness where the Prophet allowed him to enter the house without, you know, any other formality which is in place with other people, and then to listen to what he's saying. And then Abdullah bin Shaddad radiallahu anhu, he mentions regarding Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that he used to carry the blessed pillow, the miswak, and the na'alain, the blessed sandals of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sayyidina Huzaifa radiallahu anhu states that on the day of judgment, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu will be the closest, the most muqarrab, the closest in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. There's so many narrations mentioned, Mahadbai. At one occasion, Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Yazid radiyallahu anhu, he mentions that we ask Sayyidina Huzaifa radiyallahu anhu to tell us about someone whom we can follow,
who is closer to the Prophet ﷺ in guidance and in following his sunnah, so that we adopt his company. And Sayyidina Huzaifa radiallahu anhu replied that I do not know anyone besides Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu who's more obedient or more follower of the Prophet ﷺ in guidance and sunnah, because amongst the Huffaz Sahaba, those Sahaba who had memorized the Quran, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu will be closest to Allah Almighty on the Day of Judgment.
SubhanAllah.
So much to discuss about, so much to talk about. SubhanAllah, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu and his rank that was mentioned. There's so much to talk about. The time doesn't permit me, but last narration I would mention, which the fourth Caliph of Islam, the Lion of Allah, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-Kareem, narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states that every prophet was given seven rufaqa, seven companions and viziers, whereas I've been granted 14. And then the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the names. Who were they? Amir Hamza, Ja'far, Ali, Hassan, Hussein, Abu Bakr, Umar, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abu Dhar, Miqdad, Hudhaifa, Ammar, Salman, Bilal. Radiallahu anhum ajma'in. These 14 companions, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was also amongst them. SubhanAllah. So much to talk about, so much to spread, so many more excellences to spread about him, so much more knowledge to impart to the viewers, but time doesn't permit us. Just to summarize, Mahadbhai, towards the end, what would you talk about regarding his passing away from this mortal world, how he radiallahu anhu passed away, and how he radiallahu anhu met his creator?
And even his passing away is a lesson for us, and it's for us to act upon, that we have our life, and this was his state whilst passing away, such that he lived to the time of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala, the third caliph of Islam. And whilst he was sick on his bed, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, he came to visit him and said, "What is your ailment?" And his response, this is in his final moments, and he's saying, "My sins."
Allah.
And he's
Allah.
A companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, he asked him, "What do you desire?" Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, he says, "The mercy of my Lord."
Allah.
Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, he says, "Shall I not give you your stipend, which you have refused to take for years," which is a salary given to a public servant officer. And so he says, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he says, "I have no need for it."
Allah. Someone that he rightfully owed.
He had the right for it, but he said,
"No,
I have no need for it." Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, he said, "Let it be for your daughters after you." Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala says, "Do you fear poverty for my children?"
Allah.
He says, "I have commanded them to read Surah Al-Waqi'ah every night. For I have heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, 'Man qara'a Surah Al-Waqi'ah fi kulli laylatin lam tusibhu faqah.'" He says, "Whoever reads Surah Al-Waqi'ah every night shall not be affected by poverty ever."
SubhanAllah.
Look at his trust in the words of his beloved sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam. SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah.
Amazing.
And then after this, he passed away in the very same night to the company of his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, his tongue moist with the remembrance of Allah and with the recitation of the verses of the Holy Quran. And Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, he passed away in Madinatul Munawwara in 653 CE and was buried in the night in Jannatul Baqiyya al-Sharif.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah, amazingly mentioned. And how significant and what great lessons we learn even from his passing as well. SubhanAllah. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, the time doesn't permit us to carry on talking about this great personality. His academic brilliance was second to none. The likes of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, how they mentioned regarding his scholarly brilliance, Mawla Mushkil Kusha Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, what their sentiments were regarding Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, the rank he possessed in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rank he had in the court of the Prophet alayhi salam. And then even at the time of his passing, subhanAllah, what great lessons he gave us. Even at that time, look at his trust in the words of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam regarding Surah Waqia. SubhanAllah, this shows us his utmost and
complete reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He's truly an embodiment of virtue, an embodiment of nobility, who left such great legacy for us that only if we could follow in the footsteps of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anh, then this world and the hereafter would be ours. Thank you so much. Jazakallahu khairan, Mahad bhai, for joining us. And dear viewers, this is all from our today's episode. Inshallah, Zawajal, next week we'll be back again with another personality, shedding light on the seerah of another personality, inshallah, Zawajal, where we'll enlighten our hearts further with another biography of one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So don't forget to join us again next week, and until then, take very good care of yourself and stay tuned into Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions radiyallahu anhum. Lives of the companions radiyallahu anhum.